What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Dancers or Athletes 2 podcast, where we discuss the athletic aspects of dancing. I'm your host, Slim B.
In this episode, we have as guest Lily Pfeiffer. She has an interesting Instagram handle. I will start with that. It's the Barbell Ballerina. So I'm already going to add a plug here because it's a really catchy one. She's from Chicago in the United States, and we're going to talk about her program, the Performing Athlete. Lily, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm really happy that you accepted my invitation to be on the show and to talk about your program. For the people who don't know about you, can you maybe quickly say who you are, what you've been doing in dancing, and maybe outside that, and yeah, a quick roundup of who Lily is.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on today. So yeah, I'm Lily Pfeiffer. I'm 23 years old. I'm a ballet dancer and certified personal trainer, currently based in Chicago. I really love what I do. I specialize in teaching dancers how to cross-train effectively and also fuel their bodies for optimal performance. So my focus is in strength training, and I'm really passionate about how it can improve not only our dancing, but also reduce injury and lengthen our careers overall. So I recently launched my new program called The Performing Athlete, like you said, which I'm super excited to share more with you about today.
Okay, great. And you say that you do ballet. When did you start? Is it like really like the classical example where you were really young when you started? Was it something a little bit later?
I was actually a little bit older than most. I feel like most people start when they're like 3 or 4, but mm-hmm. I was actually 11. So I had a little bit of catching up to do, but we made it.
Yeah. So is doing ballet, is it also part of what you do in your daily life? Was it only, were you only doing the personal training?
Yes, I currently dance 5 or 6 days a week and then about 6 hours a day. So it's a big part of my life currently too.
Yeah. And is it then in a company, or how does it work? Or is it separate projects, or is it freelance based, or how can we see that?
I'm currently dancing with the Ballet Chicago Studio Company.
Yeah. And do they then, is it then they have yearly shows, or is it more like when people come to you, okay, we need a show for something and then you work on it, or how can we see that?
Right now we have two or three shows a year. So we do Nutcracker and mm-hmm. a couple spring rep performances.
Yeah. Okay, cool. You said that you, as a personal training, look at workouts, for example, also strength. When and how did you get interested in adding that to your own trainings? Because I understand that you also do it yourself. Like, at what point, at what age did you say, okay, I want to add it, see what the advantages are, disadvantages are, why should you do it or not do it together with my dance trainings?
Yeah, so I think as dancers growing up, a lot of the time we're told to avoid things like lifting weights for cross training, just because of the fear that, you know, we'll get bulky or we'll lose our flexibility and things like that. But I noticed for myself that when I started lifting weights in college, that my dancing became so much stronger. So my jumps became almost effortless. You know, I was able to engage all the proper muscles for turns, and I saw my extensions improve. And overall, I just gained so much more confidence and love for my body, and that translated over to my dancing, which was really cool. So then I pursued, you know, further certification and education to be able to help others learn how to do the same.
Yeah. And so in college, did you study personal training or workouts, or did you study dance in college, or maybe something totally different?
So I was actually pre-med in college. Okay. So I took a bit of a shift after graduating, but working out was really just a way for me to relieve stress from my pre-med classes, and then mm-hmm. it turned into something more. So, but I did notice that my dancing, I was in a student company in college, so I kept it up throughout, but I noticed that my dancing really improved once I started strength training.
Yeah. And why did you started to add it? Was it somebody that maybe said, oh, it's a good thing to try, or maybe that you saw it doing at other athletes doing something similar? Because, for example, NBA players will also do weightlifting, while you would think, I mean, they will just have to shoot at the hoop. I mean, they don't need weight training specifically, so they also add it. Is it maybe something like that that inspired you to give it a try?
I think I honestly just saw some influencers posting their workouts online, and mm-hmm. I thought it would be cool. So at first it started out as more of an aesthetic goal of looking a certain way. But over time it progressed to, you know, I saw the mental health benefits of exercise, and that's what really kept me going over time, I think.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So for the program itself, it's called the Performing Athlete. So on a high level, what is contained in the program? What can people expect when they subscribe to your program?
Yeah, so it's a cross-training plan completely customized to your own goals as a dancer. So some people come to me and say they want to improve their turns or their jumps or extensions or balance or whatever it may be. And I'm going to build a program exactly for those needs. So nobody's plan is going to be the same. And then I also give you an educational course, including proper nutrition, rest, injury prevention, and basically the why behind all the protocols we do, so that you can take this into your dancing and your life beyond just our training together. And then I also do weekly check-ins to assess clients' progress. I give you very detailed feedback on your form for each exercise in the gym. And then I do both home or gym training plans, depending on what you have available. And then you do get 24/7 access to me as your trainer via text, calls, whatever you need. So it's very high touch point. And then most importantly, just the tools to apply your new knowledge to your dancing down the line.
Yeah. So maybe to get a step back. So you mentioned cross training. What does that mean? And when does a training become a cross training, or when is it not a cross training when looking at ballet together with your program? Or other dancing together with your program, not just ballet. But
So cross training is basically any kind of exercise besides your primary sport, and it's meant to improve your performance in your main sport. So for dancers, that would be anything besides dancing. So Pilates, yoga, lifting weights, running, etc. And as I mentioned before, in my experience and that of my clients, as well as what the research shows, strength training is incredibly beneficial to dancers because it allows us to train in a way that's much different from dance class. So, you know, when we're dancing, we're constantly turned out and putting stress on the body in repetitive ways. But with cross training, we want to make sure we're training in parallel or in different modalities that will benefit our dance.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And you already mentioned things like lifting weights, but for the workouts itself, how do they look? How can we see that? I don't know, is it half an hour, is it 45 minutes, is it an hour? How do they look and how are they structured?
Yeah, so my workouts are typically between 30 and 45 minutes. So they really do not take much time out of your day, but they're very effective in the time that you do put in. And then in terms of schedule, that really depends on the dancer. So if they say, you know, I only have 2 or 3 days a week that I could cross train, then we'll work with that. And I always make sure to include mobility work as well. So proper dynamic warm-ups, as well as cool downs and foam rolling and other aspects to take care of your body besides just the workouts.
Yeah. Okay. You already mentioned that you will try to work with the amount of time that people have. Is there a minimum or a maximum of times that you can say, okay, amount of days that you work out, that's the minimum, that's the maximum? Are there any suggestions for that as well?
I would say it depends on the client and their schedule, but I would also look at the amount of days they're in the studio dancing. So for somebody who's dancing at a very high level, maybe 25, 30 hours a week, I would probably say that 3 to 4 days of cross training in the gym with lifting is a sweet spot. But, you know, it just depends on their own schedule and the demands that are placed on their body outside of the gym too.
Yeah. And also something you mentioned earlier was the recovery. How does that then work? Because you have influence on how much they work out and maybe when, but you don't have influence on the dance trainings that they have because it's either determined by them or maybe outside of their control. So how can you help them with recovery?
Yeah, so A big part of it is the foam rolling sections that I do after every single workout. And I also program special mobility days for some dancers, depending on their needs. So that will just be things like dynamic movements and foam rolling. That can be really good active recovery. I'm also really big on sleep and rest. So throughout the educational component of the program, I have modules built in talking about the importance of rest and recovery for, you know, building up your strength and injury prevention and all of that. So that's really important to me as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the part of nutrition, you also said that you will have a look or talk to you, to your clients, like, okay, these are the nutritional things that you have a look at. What can we understand? Is it a complete plan? Is it maybe more suggestions? Okay, be aware of this, or this is good, or this is not so good, maybe before training, after training, and so on.
Yeah, so as a certified personal trainer, giving out meal plans is beyond my scope, so I don't do part of it. But I do look at generally, you know, eating habits, how much people are eating, because oftentimes dancers come to me under eating, whether they realize it or not, especially certain types of dance. You know, we have that aesthetic, quote, ideal body that dancers strive for. So, you know, dieting can be a history for many clients, but I will give, you know, nutritional guidance in terms of, you know, are you eating enough for your own needs? Are you focusing on whole foods and getting adequate water intake and electrolytes and just making sure that your body is fueled adequately as an athlete for the demands that you're placing on your body?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's more a general advice instead of having like a, what a dedicated nutritionist would do for you.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And does it actually help that you did pre-match in these things, whether it's like the conditioning, are there aspects that help you in maybe better understanding and explaining these different aspects?
Definitely. Yeah, in my pre-med coursework, I took a lot of biology coursework. So that really helps me with an understanding behind macronutrients and micronutrients and assessing, you know, what general things people might need. But of course, I'm happy to refer out to nutritionists if somebody does need that. So
yeah, cool. And you mentioned that you want to like improve like the way they dance, if they get more comfortable in jumps, turns, and so on. So what can people exactly expect? Is it really okay, I need to work on my jumps in the sense they have to be more fluid, they have to be higher, they have to be maybe farther? So what can they actually expect as the results of the program?
Yeah, so generally you can expect to build overall strength, power, and endurance as a dance athlete. And that goes back to what I said about, you know, your personal goals. So when I first meet with clients, I ask them, like they might say, you know, I want to work on my turns, but then I'll dig a little deeper and say, what do you think could be improved with your turns? So is it taking off? Is it your pushing leg going into a pirouette? Or is it the rotation, bringing your back in or engaging certain muscles? So I really want to know the specifics. And then that helps me build a program that's going to be appropriate for you. So in addition to that, just gaining confidence in the studio and in the gym. You know, a lot of dancers have never even tried, you know, working out with weights, or they've been discouraged from doing so. So they don't really know how to even start with that. But what I can give you is the confidence to do that on your own. And then also a really important one is decreasing your risk of injury, and then overall lengthening your career, which is super important. And then you'll learn how to fuel your body properly as an athlete, improve flexibility and mobility as well, and just build a consistent routine into your schedule with cross training and overall just becoming the strongest version of yourself. So
yeah, you said that sometimes like doing something like lifting weights is discouraged. So how do you circumvent that? I mean, is it something that happens before people apply to your program that they don't even apply because they're afraid of all the quote unquote possible negative effects? Or or the people who already apply but still need convincing that weightlifting or lifting weights is something they should do, or where does that happen, that convincing of people?
Yeah, so I think that comes down to content creation on social media, at least for mm-hmm. me personally. I like to do a lot of myth busting through reels where I will say a common myth such as, you know, lifting weights will make you bulky, or, you know, dancers will lose their flexibility if they lose weights, and just kind of break that down why that isn't factually correct. Mm-hmm. And I think through that, people become more educated and more aware that this is, you know, a very valid cross-training option for dancers.
Yeah. So, and actually regarding the flexibility, why is it not a problem? Like if you lift weights that your muscles will grow, why does it not limit your flexibility?
So I always say just because your muscles get stronger doesn't mm-hmm. mean that you'll lose the like elasticity and flexibility mm-hmm. of those muscles. So another thing I talk about and incorporate in my training is mobility work, which actually can really enhance your flexibility if you take it seriously. And mobility work is basically just moving dynamically through a stretch. So say you go into a lunge, but then you go back and forth and just kind of warm up the muscles, and rather than holding it in a static position. And mm-hmm. things like that can really just improve the range of motion for your muscles and joints and improve flexibility overall.
But would you need the mobility still? Like, is the mobility requirement to do it together with the lifting to keep the flexibility? Or would you say, okay, let's say that you have a lifting program that has maybe no stretching, or like, okay, maybe no is an exaggeration, but like limited the mobility. Would it then become a problem, or is it more like, well, you're still dancing actually? So, I mean, the amount of dancing is still larger than the amount of lifting weights, or not like lifting weights for 6 hours. So that maybe because the ratio is that high, low, that the effect would not even be that big because you're still actually turning, jumping during dancing as well.
I would be very cautious of a program that has you only lifting and not incorporating mm-hmm. mobility work. I think it does a lot in order to prevent injury and make sure that your lifts are effective. So mm-hmm. for example, if I were to do a barbell back squat, right, there's a lot of mechanics that go into that. So you want to make sure your hip mobility is good, your knee mobility, your ankles. So all of that would be incorporated into a program to make sure that all of those joints are moving properly in order to make sure your squats are effective so that you can build that strength that you're looking for and build up the muscle.
Yeah, cool. And you mentioned your ballet background. Does it mean that your program is targeted towards those dancers, or do you say, I'm also working or want to work with breakers or b-boys and b-girls, hip-hop dancers, Broadway dancers, yeah, any kind of style?
Yeah, so dancers of all styles could really benefit from the program. So my background, like I said, is in ballet and contemporary as well, but mm-hmm. these often serve as the foundation for many dance styles I've seen. So I do work with dancers based on their own personal goals, and mm-hmm. we'll build a program based on those goals. So whether you're a Broadway dancer or hip hop dancer, I think, you know, everyone is welcome and we could find a perfect plan for you. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's great. You also mentioned that people that you can like program for either doing stuff at home, doing stuff at the gym. Is there then a need for specific equipment that you say, okay, we can do stuff at home, but you would need at least some things. Maybe you would need maybe not a full squat rack, but maybe you would need maybe some dumbbells at least to do some alternative variations that you would do in the gym.
Yeah, so I really make sure to work with the equipment you have available. So I've worked with mm-hmm. clients who had, you know, just a few dumbbells at home, maybe a Swiss ball or some resistance bands, all the way up to clients who do have a gym membership and then access to a wider mm-hmm. equipment. So yeah, it's really dependent on your personal preference and what you have available.
Yeah. And we mentioned the strength or the physical aspects that you gain from doing these workouts and being part of your program. What are the mental benefits of that? I mean, you hear often that like doing sports is good for mental health, but considering that dance is also a sport, you would maybe say, okay, if you dance, you don't need anything else for your mental health because it's fun, but yeah, maybe it's not always. I mean, I know it's not always, but what mental benefits do you get then from the working out, considering, I mean, movement wise, it's often different than what you're used to in dancing.
Right. So yeah, as we know, you know, exercise releases endorphins, so you'll feel happier, you know, more confident, less stressed, all of that as a result of working out. But I think it's important to have something in addition to dancing because, I mean, first of all, learning new things is always empowering. Like once you get a new skill down, it can be so awesome to see like, oh, like I've never been able to do an unmodified push-up and now I can. And it just gives you so much more confidence with that. And also, you know, in ballet, other styles of dance, usually we're just using our body weight, right? So there's no resistance we're pushing against. But I think lifting is special in that you're physically pushing or pulling weight towards your body. So then, I don't know, at least for me, I always feel really powerful after I work out because I know that I did that. Like I'm able to, you know, put these demands on my body and actually make something of it. So it's been really cool. And I've seen, you know, clients come to me with, you know, maybe lower self-esteem and pretty low energy levels. And then they go to feeling super energized and confident in themselves, you know, not just in the studio and in the gym, but also in everyday life.
Yeah. That's definitely nice from adding these things into your trainings. When a dancer is working with you or you're working with a dancer, I've seen that a program can be like around 3 to 6 months. How do they know if it works for them? Because yeah, if you do something 6 months, do you already expect some results after a couple of weeks? It's something that maybe only sets in after 4 or 5 months. So how do you know maybe if them from client's point of view, okay, this is working, this is not working, how can they assess it for themselves? I mean, I would guess that you will help them as well to see what is working or not, but how can they actually see for themselves whether it's working and that maybe they don't also have unrealistic goals to expect to improve everything after 1 week?
Yeah, so I think you'll see improvements overall in your dancing. So basically a lot of dancers will come back to me even after few weeks or a month and say, you know, my mind muscle connection is so much better and I'm learning how to properly engage my muscles that I'm using in dance. You'll also see less injuries and experience less pain when you're dancing. Oftentimes, at least with ballet dancers, we'll get hip, knee, or ankle pain is really common. But with proper cross training, a lot of that goes away. And then I would say my programs are specifically this length of time because I like to see dancers build it into their routine so that they can do it consistently beyond when we're training together.
Yeah.
So I don't believe in quick fixes. I think helping someone, if you're going to help someone, it's doing a disservice if you do it for, you know, maybe a month or two and then leave them hanging. You know, I want to be able to be there for you through all the tough spots because in 6 months together, there's going to be things that, you know, you'll need extra help with, and I'll be with you for that to help you through those moments. So I also wanted to say it's important to be working with a trainer that, you know, understands the mechanics of the body when dancing and also has an understanding of how everyone's body is different. So with my clients, I'm very open to giving like modifications or regressions, progressions, depending on their individual needs. And I think the trainer-dancer relationship is so important. And as a client, you should feel that you can completely trust the advice your trainer is giving you throughout the program.
Yeah. And yeah, you said that you have a specific amount of months so you can follow up with them. And also to touch back upon something that you said in the beginning, that you explain them the why. So do you then give them all the tools to actually, after the 6 months, continue with their own program in the sense they can plan it themselves, or what happens after the, let's say, 6 months of the program?
Yeah, so by the end of our time together, I will have clients actually build their own workout split and send it to me. Mm-hmm. So by that point, they have enough knowledge to feel confident doing that themselves. And, you know, they'll build out what they want their workout schedule to look like, and I'll have a glance at it and make any corrections or notes that I see fit. And yeah, then they'll be good to go on their own, which is always a little bit sad, but it's so fun and really fulfilling to see how far they've come, because a lot of people just, you know, have no idea where to start with lifting, especially as dancers, and then seeing them be able to actually incorporate it into their lives and build their own program is really cool.
Yeah. And to come back to the lifting, like, is it then expected that they keep adding weight? I mean, let's say that they do deadlifts. Is it then, I mean, that they after 2-3 years have, like, I don't know, 200 pounds extra on the deadlift? or because maybe at some point, how should I say, are the benefits maybe not that big anymore once you reach, you know, a certain volume that you can do in a specific exercise?
Yeah, so progressive overload is a really important concept I talk to my clients about, and it's basically what you said, you know, progressing either weight over time or the time under tension or the reps or the sets. There's very many different ways to progress your lifts over time, and that's really important. But you're right, like, at a certain point, you know, you might see a plateau in your strength on certain exercises, or even generally through all your workouts, and that's when we need mm-hmm. to take a step back and say, you know, what if we take a deload week, which is where you pull back on all of your exercises and just do things at a lower intensity that week, or even training in different modalities. So if we were normally doing 3 sets of 10, we could say, okay, let's pull it back and just do, you know, 5 sets of 5 and focus on the form and the mind muscle connection and your breathing and bracing your core and all of those mechanics, and then go back to it in a couple of weeks and see how different those 3 sets of 10 look.
Yeah. But it's also then not that, like, because let's say that you start a program now, if you keep adding weight, and let's say it works, like, maybe you progressively add weight and it works. I can maybe imagine that at a certain point, even if you keep adding more weight, that it doesn't necessarily improve your dancing anymore. I mean, I'm not sure if I explained it clearly enough, but, like, let's say that they can, like, lift or deadlift a certain amount. Maybe if I can add 5 or 10 more pounds or kilos, that it doesn't really, I mean, I can spend time in doing that and prepping for that, but that you say, okay, you're improving your deadlift here, that's true, but you're not necessarily improving your dancing anymore, because all of the progress that you could have gotten from that specific exercise you now have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think with that, then we would look at the type of deadlift you were doing. So mm-hmm. whether you're doing sumo, conventional, RDLs, we'd say, okay, maybe we put this one aside for a little bit and focus on a different type of deadlift, or even a different type of hinging motion in general, and then look back in a few weeks or a month and see how things change and whether that affects your dancing. So really it is a lot of trial and error, in a sense of seeing how your body reacts to certain exercises, how that translates to your dancing. And of course, everybody's different. So it's actually quite fun to figure out, you know, what struggles you may have and how we can problem solve those.
Yeah, cool. For you specifically, now that you have your program and you're also still dancing, what are for you the future plans? Do you see it as something that you do both? Is it something that at the long run, maybe when you're not dancing that much anymore, that you want to focus on that? Or how do you see your future plans in that regard?
Yeah, so for right now, I'm definitely looking to continue doing both.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting work-life balance, but we're making it work. So it's actually fun to, you know, have part of the day where I'm just focusing on my business and creating content and talking with my clients and, you know, planning out my next big thing, but then going to the studio and focusing on my own dancing. So it's, I think they really play well off of each other, and it's a good balance to have.
Yeah. And for the program itself, is it something that you want to, is it like for the future, I want to flesh out the program more, or do you say maybe I want to have another program that maybe I'm just saying something that focuses more on ability, or how do you see it when it comes to the programming itself?
That's a really good question. I think, of course, with every program, it builds as time goes on. So mm-hmm. I'm going to see, you know, what my clients' needs are throughout our time together, and then be able to both help them in the present moment and apply that knowledge to future clients that come in. So it's always mm-hmm. getting better and better and better. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Before we say goodbye, how can people get in touch with you? And maybe very important, if they want to apply to the program or want to register for the program, how can they do that?
Yeah, so my Instagram is at the.barbell.ballerina. You can find me on there. And then for the application for the Performing Athlete Program, that is in my Instagram bio as well. And you can always DM me with any questions you might mm-hmm. have. And yeah, and then if you do apply, we can set up a time to chat, get to know each other, get to know your goals. And yeah, I'm really excited to getting to help more people.
Cool. So for the listeners, if you think that that ladies program or what we discussed today in the episode is useful to someone you know, don't hesitate to share the episode. And if you, of course, want to contact Lily directly for the program, also don't hesitate to do that. While you're listening to that podcast, to this episode of the podcast, you can also leave a review. So that would really help the show. And yeah, Lily, thanks a lot for being with us today. And good luck with the program. And we hope to hear more from you soon.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
If you want to know more about podcast, you can find us on social media. We are at DAAT Podcast. DAAT stands for Dancers or Athletes Too. We are on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You can also check out our website at DAATpodcast.com. I'm also on social media. Surprise, surprise. You can find me at This is Slim B. Thanks for listening, and I hope you tune in again for our next episode. Take care. Kobo out.